Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Everybody say, the Lord was with him. And this next phrase just jumped out at me. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. I don't know this morning if I'm going to say anything that maybe you don't already know. But I hope today that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of an almighty, all-living God, I can say something today that will encourage us. I'm hoping I say something that will challenge you today, that you will choose to do something, that you will choose to speak some things into existence. And I'm simply entitling this today, Will You Speak It? Will you speak it? Jesus, you know and I know, Lord, how much that I need you. God, you know everything about me. You know my insecurities and my faults. And Lord, you know, Lord, what I'm capable of on my own. And Lord, you also know what you've created me with and what you've given me. And Jesus, I recognize today that I am in need of your help. And so God, I pray, Lord, that you will help me to preach your word. God, that you'll help me to say what I feel in my heart, what I feel that you laid upon my heart, what you've given me to speak to this church today. God, I know, Lord, that you are taking us someplace special, Lord, that your desire and your will for us is so great and it's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And Lord, what you are wanting to do in this church goes far and beyond even this building and even far and beyond even this gathering. But Lord, you have something that is so great that is in store. And because of that, Jesus, we have a responsibility to speak what you've spoken to us. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to preach. God, help me to say what you want me to say. Let your anointing rest upon me right now. Let your words become my words. God, let your thoughts become my thoughts. And let me to say everything that you want me to say. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look to your neighbor and ask them, will you speak it? Now, look back at him and ask him, will you? Are you really going to, or are you just saying it because I told you to? You're not sure yet. You wait till I get to the point, right? And then you'll decide whether it's worth it. Words have an incredible power in our lives. Great philosophers and orators and people alike have been able to use them to do a lot of things in our world. Most of your philosophers take this slant that it is something that is a power that we possess somehow from ourselves. But we understand today, as being children of the Creator of the universe, that the words that are given to us and the words that we speak are not of ourselves. They're not of our own, but they are from an almighty God who has given them to us. So words have an incredible power in our lives. There's some that even might say it has a magical power. Now, we don't like to use the word magic in church, but these words, they can bring either the greatest happiness or the deepest despair. They can transfer knowledge from teacher to student. They have been used to shape nations and destroy nations. Our country was founded, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence was simply at one point nothing but words, but those words became actions that led to the greatest nation this world has ever known. I need a new microphone. Words convey the mental treasures of one generation to another generation that follows. Words are capable of arousing the strongest emotions and prompting the greatest of actions. It was the world's wisest man who received his wisdom as a gift from God, who wrote in Proverbs 18:22, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What he is saying is, if you love death, you'll get death. But if you love life, you'll get life. In other words, if you follow, oh, come on, I've been preaching this, that the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What happens if I love the world? I love the God of this world, who is none other than the devil. But I'm here to declare that that's not where my love is. I want to love life. And so I've got to love the one who said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You and I have a choice as to what we speak. Now, I could easily take this into, you know, talking nice to this person and saying good things about that person, and we're supposed to do all that. We're Christians. Right? We're not supposed to talk about people behind their backs. We're not supposed to, you know, say stuff to people and that's going to hurt them and harm them. We're Christians. We're Christ-like. If there's a place that should be the safest place in the world, it should be right here among us. It should be a place where I can come and just know that I'm going to feel the love of God. I'm going to feel the love of a church that cares about me. I'm getting a lot of amens. That means we're in the same place today. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. But I want to go just a little bit farther than just this on the natural side. What I want to get into is that there's something else. That is, it's the reason the Bible is such a powerful book. Because in it is contained the words of an almighty God. Some time ago, I had preached a message. I'm not going to re-preach that message, but I am going to hit it just as I'm laying this foundation. There are two words in the New Testament for the word, actual word. Okay, the one we know of is logos, which is the thought or plan of God. It is God being revealed to us through his word. Okay, it is the thought or plan of God. That is one word. It's the written word of God. It is what is in your Bible. But the second word that we find for the word in the Bible is the rhema. It is actually the spoken or the declared word. It is the word that is spoken. Now, that rhema, that spoken word, will never violate the written word. But this is where I want you to understand, and this is what we've got to get, that if I, as a child of God, will choose to speak into existence the written word of God, the Bible says that his word will not return void. That if I will choose to take his word and speak his word and share his word, the Bible says that we will overcome him by the word of his testimony. We overcome the devil. We overcome temptations. We overcome obstacles simply by speaking the word of God. In the book that bears his name, we read about one special character in the Bible. He was unique in that he was the final judge during the period of the judges. Now, if you are in your bread reader, I don't know where you're at particularly, but you've at least if you're not there, you are heading into there. You may already be past there. But he was during this period of the judges. But more than that, he was a priest who served God in the tabernacle. But yet, even more than that, he was a prophet of God. Now, this is so interesting. Here is one man who contains three offices. He was a judge. He was a priest, and he was a prophet. If I can just put it in my English language, that's a bad dude. That's just how my mind works. That's one man I ain't messing with. I mean, he's a judge. Some kind of natural leader or ruler who got his authority from God. He was a priest, so he stood before God, and he was a prophet, so God talked to him. Those are the kind of guys you walk in softly because you never know when they're going to read your mail. You don't know when they're going to start telling you what you've done and where you've been and how you've acted. You get just a little bit nervous around people like that. And this is who this Samuel was. He was a man of impeccable character. And if you study the life of Samuel, he really has, the only flaw I really found in Samuel was that his sons didn't follow after him. And I mean, you can't blame him. He did what he was supposed to do. I mean, if you are looking to find something wrong with Samuel, he's unlike the rest of them. He has a lot of, it's very hard to find something Samuel did wrong. He was a man of impeccable character. Matter of fact, at the end of his life, Samuel actually challenges the children of Israel to basically, you tell me what I've done. But as I read the story of Samuel, I was struck by one phrase. And if you read the story of Samuel, you know that behind this great prophet and this great man of God was a mother who dedicated him to God. Now, I could have preached this on Mother's Day. You moms, listen up. But behind every great man of God is a mother who's dedicated her child to the Lord, who has prayed for her child, who has cared for her child, who has given her child to God. I just preached a little Mother's Day sermon right here. You better do that for your children, for your children's sake. She did one of the most difficult things. She literally gave her son to the priesthood. And she only got to visit her son once a year, and she would bring him new garments every year. Her son stayed with the priest. Don't any of you get any ideas you're not sending your kids home with me today. I've got four and no more. I love your kids, but they're going home with you. You can dedicate them to God. You don't got to give them to me. I'm glad that was Old Testament. This is New Testament. I live in the New Testament. You give them to God. Don't give them to me. My dad, I get carried away. My dad just recently, he travels all over the world, and he sent an email while he was in Cuba basically saying he's got a trip. He's going to be going to Mexico, and he would love to take each of his grandkids on a trip to him, on a trip to one of the places he goes sometime in their life. And my brother, being the quick-witted one, sends an email back. He's got a two-year-old, and he writes my dad back, says, "Hey, Ava's ready. She'll go now." He was ready to send her right then. Has nothing to do with anything. But if you read Samuel, you find that he had a mother who dedicated him. And while the tabernacle was being defiled, the tabernacle was not being treated right. Matter of fact, the Bible says the lamp of God had gone out in the tabernacle. They had neglected the things they were supposed to do. They were committing sins in front of the tabernacle, right there in the presence of God. And so while this is all taking place, God speaks to one young man. And he says, "I'm going to choose you to lead this nation." And so we find the calling of Samuel. And so here in Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible tells us what God did for Samuel. As Samuel grew, the Bible says he didn't just grow in stature, but something began to happen. Something began to take place. He didn't just grow as a man and grow into his position, but it came very recognizably that God was with Samuel. It became visible to everyone around him that the Lord was with him. But then the statement is made, "And this Lord who was with Samuel did not let any of his words fall to the ground." In other words, if Samuel spoke it, it happened. If Samuel declared it, it took place. If Samuel was willing to say it, God said, "I'm behind my man of God, and so I'm not going to allow his words to fall to the ground." And I'm here to declare here today that this same God who made Samuel, who called Samuel, has a church who he's called, has a people who he's called, has men of God and women of God who he's called, that all he's asking is that you'll be willing to speak his word in faith, that you will be willing to declare what he says in his word, that you will say what he says. Maybe I'm not getting this out quite right. I'm here to tell you that if you are willing and you have the faith and you have the willingness and you can say, you know what, it may not look right, it may not seem right, it may seem like there's no way it'll happen, every circumstance seems to be pointed against it, but God, your word says it will be different. And so God, I have the faith to declare your word. Can I tell you this way? You can't declare what you don't know. I said you can't declare what you don't know. That's why the Bible tells us to hide the word of God in our heart. If I've got it, if I know it, if I've memorized. Look, I know people who are in hospitals. They can't even read a Bible. They can't even. But you know what they've got in their heart? They've got the word of God. And so while I can't read it, I can quote it. I know people who have been bound in prisons, who have had the Bible stripped from them and taken from them. But there's something that they have that they've held so dear, that they've learned, that they've studied. And there in the midst of a jail cell, they can begin to quote and declare. Why do you think Paul and Silas were able to bust out of a jail cell? It was because they had the willingness. While the chains were fast on them, while they were bound hand and foot, they could declare the word of God. And as they sang the praises of God, the Bible says the jailers heard it. But it wasn't just the jailers. There was a God in heaven who said, I hear what you're saying. And I've come to set you free. Can I tell you, that was not the only time that I've read that. In 1 Kings 17:16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. Oh, but not just the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was spoken by Elijah. The Bible lets us know that Elijah prayed and God said, because you said there won't be rain, there won't be rain. Because you said there will be rain, there will be rain. He said, because of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is something that happens when I begin to pray the word of the Lord. There's something very powerful that takes place. It was Moses who was pleading for the nation. He reaches back to the word of God that was spoken to him on the Mount Sinai just a few years previously. When God said, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the father, iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. Now I want to read you Numbers 14 and 17, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. And then he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. Mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, everybody say with me, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Something happened. The word that was spoken to Moses on the Mount Sinai, when he got to Numbers, Moses reached back and said, I have a word from the Lord, and I will speak it. And God said, that is no longer just my words. That is now your words. You have claimed my words, and I will do what you ask. I'm here to tell someone today, if you will declare the word of the Lord, God is bound by his own will that he will do what his word says. Someone has to get a hold of this right now. Someone has to grab this. You've got to catch a hold of this. You've got to get this. I'm going to declare, look, if life and death are in the power of the tongue, and I know where the power comes from, it comes from the word of God. I'm tired of speaking death. I'm tired of allowing death to rule and reign. I'm tired of sin and iniquity ruling and reigning. I will speak life. Come on, somebody with me here today. The word has life. The word has power. The word was made flesh. The word was crucified. And the word rose again. Why? Because you cannot kill the word of God. Men have blasphemed it. Men have cursed it. Men have denounced it. Men have burned it. They have said it would never last. But now they're gone. And guess what lives? It's the word of God. They've all passed away. But he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That is the word of the Lord. The word speaks healing. The word speaks deliverance. The word speaks restoration. The word speaks salvation. The word speaks forgiveness. The word speaks mercy. The word speaks grace. The word speaks his faithfulness. The word speaks loving kindness. The word speaks his greatness. The word speaks his wonder. The word speaks his direction. The word speaks his guidance. The word speaks his way and not our way. The word speaks boldness. The word speaks protection. The word, look at this. The word says, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay the same way you are. You don't have to stay where you are. And what you are and who you are. The word says you can be free. The word says you can walk in newness of life. That is what the word says. That's not what I say. That's what the word says. I hope I'm building up in somebody a desire to say, you know what? It's time I start praying the word. It's time I start declaring the word.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Your thoughts of me are of good and not of evil, to give me an expected end. That's the word of God. His mercy endureth forever. Great is his faithfulness. That's the word of God. Let's just go this way. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the word of God. It doesn't matter. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. It's his word. His word will not return void. You say to me, Joe, I don't know. Pastor, I don't know how I'm supposed to pray. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I can tell you what you're supposed to say. Pray the word of God. Here's what you do. Pick up the book of Psalms and read it and pray it. Find a passage in the scripture and pray what it's talking about. I can tell you what to pray. It's very easy when you don't know what to pray. Pray his word. I don't pray it by ritual. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as earth as. I don't pray that by ritual, but I do pray that by design. Because I can tell you this, I do want his will in me. As in earth or as in heaven, so in earth. I want his will accomplished in my life. And he said, my word won't return void. It will return how I've pleased it, how I wrote it, how I said it. I will prosper it where I sent it. That is why Paul, the apostle of the New Testament, said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I'll tell you where I'm going to put my focus. I'm going to stop focusing on the things of this world. I'm tired of looking at all the negativity that's about me. I'm tired of looking at all the junk that's all around me. I'm tired of looking at those hills on each side of me. I'm tired of being here in this valley of death and walking through this valley. But even while I'm here, I can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Somebody needs to hear the word of God, that when you take your mind off of the stuff that's around you and get your mind on the word of God and on God himself, he said, I surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Now let me bring this home right here and I'm done. Read the story of Samuel. You will find that Samuel spoke things that were to come after he died. And not everything that Samuel spoke in his lifetime happened in his lifetime. But there were some things that Samuel declared, that Samuel spoke, that Samuel said, that long after Samuel died, they came into existence. And I've got to close it right here. You may not see everything in your lifetime, but God has made you a promise that his word will not fail, it will not return void, and none of your words will fall to the ground wasted. Let's all stand. You know why I like to declare the goodness of God and the glory of God and the awesomeness of God? And you know why? You know why I like to praise and worship God? You know why I like to do that? Because it's written in his word. It's written there. And when I declare it, when I speak it, when I shout it, when I say, what a mighty God I serve, guess what happens? There's a mighty God that I serve who says, wait a minute, that word's not going void. I'm going to be his mighty God. Oh, when I say, I serve a merciful God, you know what I've just done? There's a merciful God in heaven who says, you know what? They just spoke it. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be their merciful God. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be faithful to them. When I begin to declare the wondrous works of God and the great glory of this God, do you know what happens? He says, you know what I just might do? I just might come into their life and I'm going to be that wondrous God. I'm going to do those wondrous works. I'm going to do those miracles. Oh, you know why I believe and I preach miracles, signs, and wonders? Do you know why I pray it? Do you know why I preach it? Do you know why I declare it? It's because I know that there's a God in heaven who says, if you're willing to declare it, I'm willing to back it up. And maybe today, you don't feel worthy to do that. Maybe today you don't feel like you're able to do that. Maybe today you want to believe what I'm saying, but there's just some things that are nagging at you and you're just not quite sure. Can I tell you right now, you have come to the right place. You are in the place and in the presence of a living God. And if you don't feel as though you're worthy or though you're able to, I ask you to find a place to pray. This altar is a wonderful place to kneel and to pour out your heart. There are tears from generation upon generation of people who have prayed at these altars. Can I tell you, there is multiple answered prayers that are represented right here. There are healings. There's deliverance. There's hearts that have been mended. There's wounds that have been healed. There's salvation that has taken place. There's much forgiveness that's happened here. And so if you don't feel worthy, let me just tell you, find a place. Kneel down. Maybe you can't answer the question, will you speak it? But maybe you can come to this altar and say, Jesus, will you help me? I don't feel quite bold enough to declare that right now, but Jesus, I'm just asking, will you help me? Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, I don't feel worthy to even ask this. But will you be my God? I've never seen God turn his back on anyone. I've never seen it. And what you see right here, you may think, man, you and God must be so tight, and you must have all things all together, and man, God, just all this. And then let me tell you something. You don't know me like he knows me. You don't know what he's delivered me from. You don't know what things he's done in me. You don't know the depths of forgiveness that I have received from God. And if there's anyone here who should feel as though they're unworthy, I'll raise my hand first. But I also can take you to the place where I was by myself, nobody around. I had went out to my car, going through one of the biggest challenges in my life. Knowing who I was and what I've done. And I put in the song, who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way of my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. Told me who I am. So everybody say this. I am yours. I am yours. This next verse is the one that spoke to me. Go ahead, put that next verse up there. Who am I that the eyes who see my sin would look on me? and watch me rise again. You see, it was in this moment. It was at this moment. That's all the farther I got. That's all the farther I've got. I threw my head back in my seat of my car and I just began weeping before God. You see, I know where he brought me from. I know what he's done in my life. I know. Because who am I that these eyes who've seen my sin would ever think to look on me with love and say, weep not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Why? It's not because of who I am, but there is a God in heaven who said, I'm going to pick you up. Let's raise that key. I want you to sing this. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love? Come on, somebody sing that with me. Rise again. Let's repeat that again. I want you to sing that again. Who am I that the eyes who see my sin will look on me with love and watch me rise? These altars are open right now. Who am I that the eyes who see my sin will look on me with love and watch me rise again? Go to the next part.